from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. If you have an old traffic ticket, today is your last chance to apply for a statewide traffic amnesty program. The program launched 18 months ago as a way to provide relief to low-income people with unpaid tickets and get drivers with suspended licenses back on the road. KQED's Suki Lewis reports.
While the courts don't yet have the final numbers, at last count, about 200,000 accounts had been reduced. But according to the DMV, there are still about 600,000 drivers with suspended licenses due to unpaid tickets. Now, as the program ends, Ann Sura Pruick, a lawyer with the nonprofit group Bay Area Legal Aid, says people are rushing to make the deadline.
There has been a really big surge, and, you know, my phone was ringing off the hook every single minute today.
Sura Pruick was at an event in Contra Costa County, where about a dozen people waited in plastic folding chairs for the chance to get help applying for the program. Among those waiting to get help was Suzanne Rossi. Her license was suspended in 2014 for failing to pay a ticket. That ballooned over $600.
I went to court for it, but then I got homeless, got sick.
Even if Rossi is able to get her debt reduced through amnesty, the disproportionate impact of traffic fines and fees on low-income people and minorities remains. For the California Report, I'm Suki Lewis in Contra Costa County.
For many parents, school safety means tough policies banning weapons, drugs, and violence on campus. But many immigrant families say school safety also means a campus free of federal immigration authorities. That's why a growing number of California school districts are following the lead of big cities in declaring themselves as safe havens. Here's the California Report's education reporter, Anna Tintakalis.
This is Liz Villanueva's fourth period Spanish class at Luther Burbank High School in Sacramento. Most of her students are Latino. She punches up some music to get kids thinking about the language.
I think language is power. That's what I try to teach my students. You know, when you are able to use the language, it's a vehicle that transports you.
Villanueva grew up in Mexico, and now she's a U.S. citizen. But her mom crossed illegally, which is why she helps undocumented families find immigration attorneys. Villanueva says once President Donald Trump took office and threatened to ramp up deportations, one of her attorney friends didn't offer much hope. She says that broke her heart.
He told me, Liz, be strong. Be strong for them. They have you. That's why I begin to bring more resources.
And that's why she was thankful when Sacramento Unified declared itself as a safe haven. That means schools will not cooperate with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE. Nearly 60 other California school districts have made a similar pledge. But teachers and principals know they can only do so much. And parents worry about what might happen before or after the school bell rings.
Take this after-school sports event that I'm at right now. It's track and field. There's a bunch of kids. The stadium is packed. What if federal immigration officials came onto this field?
What we know is that we only have control over our space and the confines of our school day.
Jesse Ryan is Sacramento Unified's school board vice president.
And that means having very uncomfortable conversations about, in worst case scenarios, having families deported and how we support the remaining children.
A recent high-profile case in Los Angeles underscores that when ICE arrested an undocumented father taking his daughter to school. At a contentious town hall forum last week in Sacramento, ICE Acting Director Tom Homan maintained the agency's top priority is still deporting undocumented immigrants with criminal histories. Still, he knows some families are keeping kids at home out of fear.
Listen to me now. I don't want children not going to school.
He told the angry crowd that his department has a policy of avoiding sensitive locations like schools. But he said ICE agents can still legally go on campus if they have orders to arrest someone.
I understand immigration enforcement is a very emotional topic. I get that. But we're law enforcement officers that take a solemn oath to enforce the laws of this country.
But organizations like the ACLU say schools have more power than they think. Federal immigration agents must have a warrant to pull a student or parent from school or have a subpoena if they want student information. But many school officials across the state don't know that. Just last week, several districts were found to have collected information about the legal status of their students, which is against the law. For its part, Sacramento Unified is doing what it can to ease fears, and that means a lot to 15-year-old Felix. He was born here, but most of his family is undocumented.
Even if something bad were to happen, I know that if I were to come here, my teachers would support me and they would help me through it.
Pocket-sized pamphlets have been sent home spelling out the rights of immigrant families, and school officials are holding confidential meetings with parents to encourage them to send their children to school. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis in Sacramento.
Well, I don't know about you, but I often don't think about trash at all. So for the next month, I'm going to get educated by KQED science reporter Lindsay Hoshaw, who, among other things in her life, once spent a month on the giant island of trash that's floating in the Pacific Ocean. And with that, here's our new segment. We're calling it Trash Talk. Let's start off with this question. Where is America's largest landfill?
Well, you think I'm going to say California, right?
I'm expecting you to say California right now, yeah.
Well, it's not.
Oh, okay.
America's largest landfill is closed. It's in Staten Island. It's called Fresh Kills Landfill. And it's currently under construction, being turned into a park. And when it's finished, it will be about three times the size of Central Park.
Wow, so it's going to be a park that's huge that's made of trash?
Yeah, pretty much. You won't be walking on the trash, obviously. They'll have covered it over. But yeah, a man-made trash park.
So what does this have to do with California?
Okay, you're right. Getting back to California, right. The second largest landfill in the U.S. is in Puente Hills, which is just outside Los Angeles. And they are also planning on turning this landfill into a park. And this is kind of a theme that we're seeing. There are all these landfills, actually around 10,000, that are old, and we have to figure out what to do with them.
So these are landfills that are no longer accepting trash or close to not accepting trash?
Yes, exactly. And so now they have to figure out, how are they going to use that space? And the plan is to turn it into a park.
Like a park for kids or like a nature preserve where we can...
Well, I would say the former. It's mostly for kids to play on. But that idea of a nature preserve is really interesting. Other places have actually done this. There's a man-made, literally man-made garbage island off the coast of Singapore.
What?
This is a thing. I got to visit it, actually, for a story. And it's a man-made garbage island. They incinerate the trash.
Is that what they call it? Man-made garbage island?
I think the PR reps would have a better name for it. It's officially called Pulau Semakau. Because Singapore is such a small city-state, they have no place to put their trash, and so they incinerate it on the mainland, truck it out via boat to this man-made garbage island, and it has become so pristine and so well-protected that it's actually a wildlife sanctuary. An endangered species hang out on it. There's these beautiful dolphins. People go there to take their wedding photos. This is the thing.
They go to Trash Island to take their wedding photos.
Yeah. That's There's right. a wait list, actually. I wanted to go when I was in Singapore, and I called and said, oh, can I get in? And they said, there's a wait list. It's 3 months. And I said, to visit this trash island? And they said, absolutely. Yeah.
That's right. So is that what's happening at Puente Hills? Are we going to see, you know, destination weddings for the recycle set?
Oh, I don't know. I could see that being a niche product for certain types. But Puente Hills will be turned into a park. And what's interesting is that the developers have to figure out what to do with this ground that's shifting and moving. There are some parts that are being covered over where the landfill is 500 feet deep in some areas. That's a lot of trash. And so as...
So why is it moving, though?
That's a good question. The organic matter, things like eggshells and chicken bones and banana peels, as they rot and decompose, they release methane and they get smaller in size. And so that accounts for this discrepancy in space. In some places, the ground will sink anywhere from 120 to 150 feet.
So wait a minute. With the methane that's... Methane's a greenhouse gas, right?
Yes.
So it's going right into the atmosphere?
No.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Oh, okay.
They're collecting it. They have figured out a way to collect the methane, actually, and use it to power a nearby power plant.
So the methane's being used for a power plant. The rest of the place is being used for a park. And what they're hoping is that parents go to Puente Hills to bring their kids to the park/power plant.
The power plant's nearby, so hopefully the kids will not be playing on the power plant. They will just be playing on the park.
Each week we talk about innovations in trash with our own Lindsay Hoshaw. Lindsay, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, John.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, accepting nominations now for the 2018 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
The new Fast and Furious movie is coming out this month. It will not feature longtime Fast and Furious actor Paul Walker, who of course died in a car crash. Well, two San Clemente surfers went to City Hall there and spoke in front of the city council, urging them to find a way to remember Paul Walker. Here's part of that testimony.
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times. I was 11 years old when my first love, Ashley, betrayed me by moving to Newport Beach. I felt lost, alone, bummed. And it was in that melancholy that my dad took me to see The Fast and the Furious, where for an hour and 47 minutes, I transcended my worries because I had just met my new hero, Paul Walker.
So how do they want to celebrate Paul Walker? You can find out by watching the entire video. You can go to my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. That's the California Report for Monday, April 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.